young, dumb, and righteous. Some people might hear that and think that we are, you know, we might think ourselves as better, but it's not really the truth. If you read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us that therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that affirms that Christians who are faithful in Christ are righteous and declared righteous by God himself. And God, you know, God truly loves us and cares about us. And I think Nick might have a few things to add on to that from his perspective.
One thing that I heard that kind of changed how I saw a relationship with Jesus is when we get to heaven, we're not told to offer our resume. The only thing that we have to offer is the invitation that we were given by Christ, as he's given to everybody. It's not something that you have to work for. It's not something that you have to do to get. It's something that is offered. And when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you are immediately accepted into his kingdom. And when I explain that to people, the first thing that comes to mind is the three crosses, the same three crosses you see for Easter. And the two other crosses on the left and to the right of Jesus were two people that were actually on trial for real crimes. One of them had turned away from Jesus, as did all the other people, the religious folks and the people that were persecuting him. But the thief on the other side, in the final moments of being crucified, had a realization that there was truth behind what he was saying. And in that moment, he had acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of Man and that he was dying. And when he saw this happening, he looked at Jesus and he asked him for a favor, he said, when you die and when I die, do you think that I could go to heaven with you? And Jesus looked down at him and he said, I can assure you that you will be in the kingdom of heaven. And it was nothing that he did other than accepting the invitation that Christ was sharing when the disciples and Christ walked on the earth and shared what the message from Jesus was. And that was love and acceptance of him as our Lord and Savior, and crucifying our flesh and picking up our own cross and following him.
I like how you started that out. It's definitely powerful, and I think something that really, if you really want to get behind Jesus's character in that moment, when you go into Luke chapter 23 verse 34, you know, if you look back at it, he's on the cross, he's being crucified, he has nails through his hand, feet bound, he's on this cross and he's being laughed at, he's being mocked, he's being stabbed with spears. And instead of looking down at these people and saying, we'll curse you and your entire bloodline, he's instead on this cross thinking, he looks to his Father, which is our Father and God, and he says, forgive them, because they know not what they do. And it continues on in Romans. It tells us in Romans 5:8 that God sacrificed his only begotten son. He sacrificed his son knowing we are sinners and knowing we will continue to sin, and that we will always be that way. So although we may call ourselves righteous, we are only righteous through our faith within Jesus and his sacrifice.
Amen. With that being said, we just want to start off with the reason that we're here, and that is to spread the gospel of who Jesus is. And we know a lot of people have turned away from the church, as that being part of my testimony. I can attest to you that you were hurt by people. You were never hurt by Jesus. Just for food for thought, Jesus was killed by the religious people. There is a lot of people who walk the walk, have the outside of their cup clean, but they kind of have the whole idea of being given the new heart. They haven't quite taken that literally, because I thought that I had the whole thing figured out. I grew up in the church. I was there Sunday night, Monday, and Wednesday. So I was there as much as I could be there. Definitely not for the right reasons, but I was Baptist, so I figured that I was saved and I was good. But it wasn't until I had actually tried to do things on my own and dabble in things I shouldn't be getting into until I realized I did not have this figured out. And I think about the Jonah and the whale story. And when he put the calling on Jonah, and Jonah tried to run away, he got swallowed up. And he got swallowed up into darkness. And it was all part of God's plan. Because Jonah, as I, very hard-headed. God told us what we needed to do. And we said, hey, I think I can do it my own. And due to the realization of it in my life, I think that's why it is so heavy on my heart to share that this is true. It's not a fairy tale. It is historical. And whether you believe in God or not, Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. And that is something that we all know as true and is historically more true and than anything. And we're just getting to the basis of how you can make that real in your life and how you can be set free by the Son and truly live out the fruits of the Spirit.
I think that's a good testimony. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are in your same place that were, you know, may have grown up in the church or around the church, been involved even maybe, and just ran away from it, got away from it, thought they knew kind of what they were in. I have a kind of a different story myself. I personally never really went to church a couple of times growing up and stuff, but for the most part for me, I just heard about it. And all the people I knew of that were in the church, I either couldn't look up to, or they just kind of like what you had touched on there, you know, you weren't hurt by God, you were hurt by people. And those people to me just didn't represent what I thought God should be. So I didn't figure God would be what I know him to be today. And that is a loving father, kind of a father figure to me. And kind of for me, there was a bit of a turning point of I got in an accident roughly a couple of years ago now that truly showed me. And I mean, it was a bad enough accident that it completely totaled my vehicle. And luckily the other people who were involved weren't injured at all. And I actually walked away with nothing but burns on my stomach from the airbag being deployed. And that was kind of my eye-opening moment that maybe I needed to make a change in my life. And then that there is somebody out there that's looking out for me that truly loves me. But maybe I'm not doing what they want me to do. So this is my punishment. A lot of things have changed for me in that time. I touched on God being a father figure, and God is somebody I can truly turn to and talk to. There are times where maybe I don't feel as loved as I really am, and he's always there to listen to me. He's there to hear my problems, and he doesn't judge in a sense. He just hears it, and he offers the solutions or gives guidance on how I might be able to get myself out of what I might be going through. And it's, at the end of the day, it's been a true eye-opening and changing experience in my life to accept him in and to really recognize Jesus's sacrifice. And I really like what you said there. Regardless of what you think, Jesus did die. That is historical evidence that he was crucified on a cross for saying that he could forgive sins. And his sacrifice is what that means, is forgiveness for our sins. And God knew from the moment that Eve ate off of this tree, or as people like to call it, the apple, but it's the tree of knowledge, is the moment that she ate off of that tree of knowledge, God recognized that we are as people sinners, but he still loved us. And he continued to have faith in us to change and to try our hardest to be in his image and to be in his likeness.
Right. When you were saying that reminds me of with the name Young, Dumb, and Righteous, to describe that name, you can think of the prodigal son story, and how the son had ran away from his father, and went and wallowed in the pig slop. So when I think of that story, it makes me think of running away from, you know, moving out at 18, thinking I had it out, stop going to church, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to live, as the Bible would describe, a dead man walking. And when you think of it like that, it sounds very, you know, very vulgar, but until you realize how real it all is, it does kind of sound like a lot. But I think when you really see darkness, you really understand that there's also light, and we have the choice of whether we want to pursue light. And we know the truth through his word.
No, you're good, man. I think that was, you're completely right. I love that story myself. I actually have it written down as kind of a talking point. I'm glad you brought it up, because it fits so perfect into what you said. He ran away, but when he comes back, the father isn't mad at him. The father doesn't cast him out. The father doesn't even make him a servant as he requested. He actually puts him in a higher place than he probably would have been in to begin with. So for those of you that don't know, when the son comes back, he asks to be a servant because he realizes this, even the servants have more than he has. The people who are just serving this kingly type figure. So he realizes this, and he goes to be a servant so he could have food again and just the bare minimum comfort. And instead of the father casting him out or even just putting him at a lower pedestal, he actually brings him back up and lifts him up, and he celebrates him coming to him. And I think when we come to God and we come to Jesus, that's what God wants. He wants that. And he'll celebrate you coming to him, and he's happy about it. And he wants you to spread that with everybody. And not just the joy with yourself, but he wants to spread that joy for anybody who wants to hear or who can join in the festivity of that.
Yeah, when the son comes back, and I just think about how his father wraps his cloak around him. And when I hear like a cloak, I think like his royal robe. And as he was thinking of only being a servant, the grace of the father was wrapped around him, and he wasn't seen by his mistakes that he has made. The only thing that could be seen was the righteousness of the father. So that wraps up of us being the young, dumb, running away, just kind of living on our own, and then finding righteousness through Jesus Christ and the invitation that he's given us. And through the overflow of our hearts and the joy it's brought us, we're only here to share the message that same joy that lives within us can also live within you. And it's the well that satisfies, brother. Like there's some things that when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he said, "Blessed are you to see what you see." There's things that the kings and rulers of this world will seek, but things that can only be found in you who see, and in children. And I talked about this before, as I sat there and thought about that. The one thing that's in children that isn't in adults naturally is joy. So as a child, you kind of see blindly, and you feel protected, you know. And if you were raised in a good home, you were kind of just a sheep. You were being led by your shepherd and protected by your parents. And I think that's just kind of how relationship is with him, you know, spiritually. We think we have things figured out until you realized what you see is not all it is meant to be. There is so much more than what we see, and how we live in a real spiritual war. And we don't battle flesh and blood. There's dark powers that live true in this world. And as you can see through social media, Hollywood, and the opening ceremony of the Olympics, we live in a dark world. And there's no way that you can disprove that the name of Jesus does not provoke people in a certain way. Why is Christ being the only one being mocked? I think it speaks for itself. Why are children being put on pedestals, and men dressing as women? And we live in an adulterous generation. And as you can tell, it does not get better until Christ comes back. But we fight from a victory as a Christian, because we know that the battle has already been won. In the grand scheme of things, this earth, and comparably to heaven, is nothing, and what we see is just a marble in the whole board game. And Jesus has already won, and Satan already has a mortal wound to his head, and he's just trying to get you down. But as we fight from victory, we know the truth that Christ is won, and that we are set free from spiritual bondage and anxiety and depression and addiction. And we don't have to live for our flesh anymore. So
it's really incredible.
Amen.
Amen to that, brother. That is, I think it's really great. And I kind of want to get personal here for a minute. We're doing this, and Nick kind of touched on that briefly there. The things that we see today, the things that we consume on a day-to-day basis, they're doing nothing to drive us forward and to bring us joy, to bring us true happiness. I am guilty of it myself, of getting on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, whatever your vice might be, and just scrolling, and just sitting there for hours, even just seeing mindless content after mindless content. It might be sexual content. It might be content about drugs. It might be content mocking God. And a lot of it recently of mocking God. And you had brought up the Olympics, and it is truly sad that there's really few good programs out there that are what we can consider religious or even good, even in the God, in the eyes of God. And they've always, all of these things have some theme of either sexual perversion or just the mocking of God and himself. I think sexual perversion's a big one, but it's not the biggest thing out there. There's cussing in almost anything we listen to or watch. Even some of the music that we have these days, it's infiltrated books to a huge degree in recent times, most of us know. So we wanted to make this as a way of people to escape that and to absorb something that isn't ungodly. To take in God's word and to understand Jesus from a better perspective, and to really understand him and where he comes from. And although we are people, we are not here to hurt you. We are here to tell you that Jesus loves you and that he is here for you. And just overall, we're here for you if you need us.
Yeah, and I think the Gen Zers, we call that a brain rot. So there's too much brain rot going on. We're all consuming just straight garbage. We wonder why no one has energy. And it's not only the food, but it's what we listen to, and it's what we watch on our phones, it's what we watch on our televisions and read. That's what we call a diet. You know, your diet's not just what you eat. If you eat McDonald's every day, you're going to feel like garbage every day. But if you eat nutritional foods, you're going to start to feel more energized and more replenished. And with that being said, as referring to the well that satisfies, Christ is the ultimate. He satisfies. That's why everybody has a God-shaped heart and hole in their heart. But
I think it's definitely a good start. I'd like to kind of maybe pivot a little bit, go into a little bit of scripture here. So I have 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse I tell you what, I actually have 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 written here. This kind of goes back into the father figure sense of things here. So chapter 2, verse 5, 1 Peter tells us that as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So what that verse is really trying to tell us here is that we're spiritual stones and that we are special to God. He has made us these stones and he wants us to look at him as a father figure, to grow with him, by him, and then to also, and to a certain degree, regurgitate him through our words and through our actions and from our heart. There's actually a really nice verse where they're breaking bread and Peter asks Jesus, you know, because it's during Passover and they're supposed to have clean hands and this whole ritual that they're supposed to do beforehand. And Jesus tells them it's not about what you put in, but it's also what you put out as well. And I think that's very important. Of course, you are what you take in, and that's why we're here to change that narrative. But we're also here so that way maybe you can put out better things and to put out the word of God in a more positive note than what you might see or might try to regurgitate from what you've seen online or on the internet or from TV or a music verse that you might have heard or something along those lines. Wasn't sure if you had anything to add to that, or I know it's kind of a jumbled thought.
No, it's not a jumbled thought. I love to hear the word. I was just telling him how I feel like I need to hear a verse 5 times before I can get some kind of grasp on it. He just gave me this verse for the first time a little while ago, and I'm kind of sitting here thinking about it. But yeah, I mean, building on the firm foundation of Christ, I mean, you could tell, like, if we build on the things of this world, it's going to get swept away as the storm begins to stir. And as you can see, the storm has begun to stir, and people are starting to become confused. And I think the confusion is becoming because we have an enemy. And one of the names of the enemy is the deceiver, or the father of lies. And one thing about the devil is he speaks lies unto us. And I think the main issue with most people, as I have been for the longest time, is we don't understand that what we are thinking is not true. And our feelings are, they're a good servant, but they're a terrible master, right? So if you can cipher through your thoughts and understand what is true and what is from God and what is from the deceiver, it gives you an upper hand. I go to the Church of 1122, and we're doing a series right now on suiting up in the armor of God. And it gives us a list of all the different lies that the devil can tell you and how to combat that with the truth. And that is, you know, a verse, and where you can find a verse that you can apply to your situation. So here's just one, and it's that I've screwed up so bad in my life that I will never experience joy. And I feel like a lot of people feel that. I definitely have felt that. And I would describe that feeling as shame and as condemnation. And by sharpening our sword of the Spirit and getting into the Word, we know that there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And we know that when we accept Him, that we know who we are. And when you can know the truth, you can fight off the lies of the enemy. You can fight off the flaming arrows. So I just think it's so important to be rooted into the Word and understanding that it's going to tell us. It's going to tell us what's going to happen and how we can stand firm on Him, and by sharpening that sword and staying in His Word, that we're going to be focused on Him. And when we have our eyes pointed on Him, that we begin to lose focus of what we think has a grasp on us. And that's those chains breaking, that's, you know, being set free And that's what it means to be set free, is you begin to look at him so much that you start to experience the joy of the Spirit. And you start to turn away from that life, and we're made new again with our new hearts. And it's an overflow of joy. I was just explaining this to somebody. I haven't cried sad tears in probably over 10 years. I cannot think of the last time that I've cried. But almost every day I seem to just be sitting in my truck or in my apartment with tears dripping from my eyes. And that feeling is just, I don't deserve this. And understanding that what it means to be blessed, I just feel exactly like that lie I just told you about. Sometimes it feels like you've just screwed up so badly that you don't deserve happiness. And if you remember one thing from this podcast, I want you to remember that when you hear something speaking down on you like that, telling you a lie, I want you to know that that is the enemy, and think of the opposite of that. And that is God, and that is the truth, and that is who he says you are. And the same way that Jesus assured that thief that he would be in heaven, he assured that when you accepted him, he is going to live through you, and that you are made new and found righteous by the sacrifice that was made by Jesus.
That's good. And something too is, God's love is for everybody. Whether you are trying to quit drugs, or if you're someone who's depressed, or maybe you have a sex addiction, it is for everybody. We all have our own way of trying to seek happiness when it doesn't pertain to the Lord. I know me personally, I've had my struggle in the past with alcohol and other things. Just trying to find my own happiness, and it's turning to the Lord that really showed me what true joy was. And Nick was telling me earlier about these tears of joy that he gets now, and that really spoke to me, because it makes you realize, like, God is joy. God is everything, and it's exactly what you've said. God is joy. It's everything you've ever thought it would be. You go into him, and you run into him, and you seek his comfort from him, you will be happy. And living through him, you'll be happier, and changing your outlook on life. Happiness isn't a bunch of cars. Happiness isn't a bunch of women. Happiness isn't a bunch of money, a big house. Happiness is family and having people around you that truly love you. And something we really want you to understand is God loves you. God loves you so much that if you don't want to be with him, he doesn't hate you. He just lets you live. And he doesn't necessarily punish you, but he will do things to try to deter you or to try to get you to lean into him. There are even times where he'll let Satan tempt us into maybe running away, or to put things on us to make us want to lean into him. When things seem their toughest is when you really need to turn things over and put it into God's hands and let him truly shine through you and to live through him. And we want you to know that God's there for you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're doing, and no matter what and how far gone you may think you are, you're never so far out of God's house that you can't see his light. And we want you to turn to him when you really need him. And if you need him now, please turn to him and seek a church, seek a loved one, and get saved and really lean into God. So he can to bless you in the way that he's blessed us, even after we've turned away from him the way we have.
My pastor, he always says this quote, "There's more grace in him than there is sin in us." We are purchased, you know, think of us purchased as a car. We were not seen. He knew that the condition we were in, and he paid the full price for us. He knew what he bought. And speaking on the joy is when you understand how valuable you really are, like what he was saying. So I've been going to church, and I see this old guy. He sits in the corner, and after the service, I'll see him sit there for 5 minutes, and he'll just be smiling, man. He's sitting there. He's got a little quilt over his legs. He's got glasses and long hair. He just looks like a nice old man. And I just felt like the spirit is just like, just go talk to him. And I always know when it's the spirit, because me, I think I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do that. And if I feel that feeling, that's like, okay, something's going to happen if you do it, because that's the feeling of intuition. So if you feel that butterfly feeling sometimes to go talk to somebody, go talk to him. Tell him that you're thinking about him. So I went up to this guy and I'm like, man, I just felt something to tell me to come talk to you. I just always see a smile on your face, and you always make brighten my mood. And he was like, man, Jesus just makes me so happy. He said, I'm a reminder, this guy's probably 70 to 75. And he's sitting there, he said, I've been saved for about 10 years now. And he said, I just lived my whole life just angry. And he said, I was addicted, and I was tied to things that I thought I would never get away from. And Christ came to me, and he experienced the joy of Christ for the first time. And the Bible says that when we're given a new heart, we begin to thirst for his word. And one thing too that I heard that kind of changed my perspective was, how do you view your relationship? Do you see it as a burden? Because I know growing up, I kind of saw church and even praying before you eat as a burden. I knew the switch was about a year ago, honestly, for me, for when I really began to be like, none of this is satisfying. I the only thing I want is to learn more about him. And it's like, even if you pray, I believe that if you seek, you shall find. And if you believe that it's true, and I believe if you seek and you pray and you ask, I think that he will hear you, and I believe he will answer you, and he will begin to show you the purpose that he has for you, and you can begin to walk into that. But I think it's important to know what is from God, and what is actually just our own emotion. So that's why it's so important to be in the Word and understanding what is the voice of God. You know, what is those red letters in real life, and what is just your emotions? Because we know our emotions change. You know, I think about just my truck. One day I'm like, I want to build my truck. The next day I'm like, I want to sell my truck. And then the next day I'm like, I want to go trade it in on a race car. And then it's like, okay, so what I really want? Because I know that day I'm like, dang, this is what I really want to do. I'll go do it right now. So how can you even build a foundation on your emotions? Because we know when the storm comes, it's going to all get swept away. So that's why it's so important just to build it on what we know to be true, and to not turn our backs on him, you know, because he's a good and loving father. And that was the biggest change, I guess, with not having a father. You don't understand that's something that it's real, you know, and we think that we're so unlovable until we humble ourselves to open our hearts to him and experience the joy that he has to offer.
That is, I mean, it's the truest thing. And to kind of, to build a little on what you said about the fact that he bought a sight unseen. It'd be like us getting on Facebook Marketplace and thinking that a couple of pictures online is the whole story behind a vehicle. God knew we were sinners from the very get-go. And it tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it said, but God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were just yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's really amazing. And this is New Testament. And you may think, okay, well, this is after Jesus' sacrifice. But a verse that really sticks in my head, and I think about it every day, is in the Old Testament, and is in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. It tells us that there is no just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. God knew we were sinners and always knew we would do that, but that doesn't mean that he loved us any less, and he offered a way for us to cleanse ourselves and to change and to repent and to be within his faith and try to be as much in his likeness as possible, without having to completely control us, because God does give us free will. God lets us do things. You know, if I decide to go shoot heroin today, that I could do that. God's not going to stop me. God might do things to put blockades in my way or deter me away from that, but he's still going to let Satan tempt me to do those things. But at the end of the day, I can turn to him and know that his love means more to me than a high for the day or even a prostitute at night. Or
yeah, one thing that I thought was kind of crazy to hear was that he created hell not for us, but for the people that choose it. And I think that kind of changes my perspective, because it's like, man, there's a lot of people that are going to hear the word and they're going to know the truth, and they don't choose to pursue that. They choose to turn away from that and chase their own desires. And I think that is what that means. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, he has the invitation is in front of your face. You just have to accept it. And it says that he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. That is Psalm 103:10-14. So I just think that if that verse, if the thought of being turned away from God strikes fear in you, you know, I think that is the beginning to fear the Lord. And I believe when you begin to fear the Lord is when you, it's not a fear as a scare way, it's fearing as an understanding his power and his majesty, and that you know, he offered the answer to us. We just have to accept it. You know, we don't have to.
God allows us to choose his path. In the Bible, it tells us that there are two paths we could take. There's a narrow path or a wide path. And many of the people that walk on earth today walk a wide path. They are lost in a certain sense. Whereas this narrow path, it's a straight one. It's simple. It's narrow enough that you could take one step forward to the next step. And that is the path that God wants you to go down. And it is a simple path. And it is a good one. And it is full of blessing. And life is life. And things will happen. And hardships will happen. And these are due to sins that come into our lives. But if you turn to God, those sins will become meaningless. And they will be turned away. And those things will pass. And just lean into God and to trust in him and into his plan, that things will go right and things will continue to move forward. You just have to trust in that, not to walk off and to go on to that wide path and that to be lost.
I think the reason that we're on here is to explain to you that there is peace. I see too many people on Facebook and Instagram just posting about how adulting sucks and how, you know, life sucks pretty much. And I just, like, I know we all feel that there's no way that it just is supposed to feel like this. And I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. There's a new path for us. And like he said, it's a very, very straight and narrow path. The word is there. And if you're on the path, you're going the right way. But it is easy to fall off, but not that you're gonna fall off and turn around. Once you're on that path, you're there. Faith works like a mustard seed. It's something that's planted one time, and once you believe and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that doesn't go anywhere. It only goes up from there. One thing I love is that it doesn't end at the cross. It starts at the cross. So everybody thought when Jesus died, that was the end. But that was only the beginning. That was when death was defeated and he rose again. So the moment that you accept Jesus into your life, that's when things are going to begin to change. And it's not going to be, you know, that mustard seed's not going to turn into an oak tree overnight. But the more that you water it, the more that you fertilize it, and the more that you take care of the soil, the faster that seed's going to grow. So that's why it's so important just to be plugged in with other believers and be plugged into a church, a good church, disciple groups, and have good friends that are also based in the Word. And that's why me and Philip kind of felt the calling on it, because I feel like we know that we're not there yet, but we have already been deemed righteous by God through the sacrifice that his son made, Jesus Christ.
Amen to that.
So we're just here to share his love and share how this same righteousness that is wrapped around these two young dumb fellers can also be wrapped around you. And there is no sinner too far gone. You know, his arms are ever extending and can be wrapped around all of your baggage, and he can take it all off. And his yoke is light, you know. And I think one thing I think about is how sometimes the yoke of us trying to be better is heavier than the yoke of Christ. And we think that we're trying to be better, and we're wondering why we can't get these things figured out. But if you would just give it to Christ and carry his and seek him, it's much lighter, and he'll take it off of you.
It's a powerful message to give. I mean, and it's very true. There's never a burden too heavy for God. It's something a lot of people like to say, and I actually seen somebody actually go against this. But something a lot of people like to say is God will never put more on you than he thinks you can handle. But I think that's false. I think God will put as much as he wants on you, so that way you rely on him. God wants you to turn to him. God wants you to talk to him. And something I discussed with Nick earlier was, you know, there are times I go home and I sit in my chair and I talk to him. I talk to him like a friend. I talk to him like a father figure. I ask him for advice. I ask him for guidance, things to help me through things. I might sit there for 10 minutes and just rant to him about how my day went, or why. I might even ask him, why are things so good for me? What have I done to deserve all the blessings that I've gotten? Or maybe things aren't so good. I mean, we're all guilty of going, God, why are things so bad in my life? Why can't things be better? But that's what God wants. God wants you to talk to him. No matter how bad things might get in your life, God wants you to turn to him and ask him these things, and to ask for guidance, ask for ways out of it. He may not hand you $1 million to solve your debt problem, but he might say, hey, here's a new job opportunity, or here's a new path you can go down to maybe get away from these things, maybe get away from these people, and to surround yourself. And something that Nick said, I think this is very important, surrounding yourself with good people and getting yourself into a good church. For the longest time, I never saw church as necessary. I always thought of it as, why can't I just stay home and read the Bible myself and interpret it? And I realize it's because you can't do that by yourself. That is something that you have to talk with people about. And to gain a further understanding, you have to gain other perspectives and other understandings of the Word to truly understand what God is trying to tell you and trying to preach to you. Because it's not just God's love, it's everybody's love that comes together. And we are all spiritual within each other to spread that Word.
I think about guidance, that's the reason that we're gifted with the Holy Spirit. And I think, so the Bible says that the sheep know his voice. And I was describing this to a friend who was questioning religion the other day. And I was telling him how it's the same way when you see like a mountain in a distance. The mountain looks very small, but the closer you get to the mountain, the bigger the mountain gets, you know, and you start to realize how, you know, how glorious and how big that is, you know. And I think that's the same thing with God. Like, we, when we first start following him, like, he's going to start guiding you, and the Holy Spirit is going to start telling you where to go, but you're not going to know what to see, and you're not going to know what, so you're going to make a lot of missteps in the beginning. But I think the more that you begin to tune in and step closer to him, and it's about baby steps, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You can jog a little bit if you'd like to. You're going to get up there and you'll start hearing his voice more and more. And then it turns into a, you know, it starts with a Sunday thing, and then it starts, it almost sounds like I'm talking about alcohol, and it starts coming, starts turning into an every other day thing, you know. And the next thing you know, moment by moment, you're starting to hear him, and you're starting to hear, like, say you get offered with a situation, you can look at the situation, and the Bible says you can tell a tree by its fruits. So you can immediately look at the situation, you say, hey, what does this have to offer to me? Is this of or not of God? So immediately you can take that step either to or away from that. And, you know, that's the step. You're starting to walk with the Spirit when you start to begin to hear the voice and take those steps. And that's what it means to walk with God. And he knows we're not going to be perfect, but that's why he offers forgiveness. And to be able to have that forgiveness is something to be so grateful for. And that's why I feel like me and Philip just talk about it so much, because it's like, man, who are we? You know, like, who are we to be offered this, man? Like, I can't think of a single person on earth that I feel like I could tell every single thing about me and them still view me the same and say, hey, I know you and I know who you are and I still love you. And there's nothing that you can do to make me change the way I feel about you. You know, and that's true love. And that's what Jesus wants us to know, is that he loves us. There's nothing that we can do for him to turn his back on us. And he is like the one true definition of love. And that's why, you know, a Christ-centered relationship is so important, because there is no love without him. You know, it takes one time for you to choose that wrong fleshly desire, and then it's all scrapped. But if y'all both pursue Christ together, y'all are growing together and trusting in him, and then he begins to carry it. But I think that goes for every kind of relationship, you know, throughout your whole life.
To put it in, and you had said there's nothing you can do to make God turn away from you, or to make Jesus not love you. To put it in Gen Z terms, as you had mentioned earlier, Jesus doesn't have an ick list. He doesn't have things that he's just disgusted by that will make him turn away from you or to put you away. There's nothing. You can go today and you can lie to somebody, you can steal from somebody, you can murder somebody. But at the end of the day, if you turn to him and you ask for forgiveness and you truly repent for your sins, truly repent and change for the better, he will forgive you. There may be punishment for what you've done, there may be other temptation, but if you've truly changed and you've asked for forgiveness, then you are, and in God's eyes, as we have mentioned earlier, you are righteous in his eyes through your faith in Jesus to make a change in you and to recognize his love and his sacrifice that he made to cleanse you of your sins.
Yeah, I mean, he knows our hearts. So, I mean, that's why it's so important. It's not what you're doing, it's how you're doing it. Are you giving money because you want to give back to God what is his? Or are you giving money because you have a job interview and coming up and you really want to get this job? So it's all about the intention behind you. And God sees your heart. You know, if he knows that you understand that you are doing wrong and that you are wanting to be better, you know, he's going to work with you. He's not going to cast you away. But when he was talking about, you know, having the people around you that are also rooted in the word, I think about my disciple group that I had this week, and we were talking about putting on the armor of God. And one of the pieces of armor would be like the shield of faith. And the shield defends, and when linked with others, it allows advancement together. It is only by grace through faith we have been saved. So the shield alone defends. It defends against the lies of the enemy. And it's based on our faith. And that faith is that we truly, truly believe that when Christ died on the cross and rose again, what he offered was for us. And when you can believe that, you can defend off, you know, the flaming arrows of the enemy. But it's, I just think it's interesting how it can also be used as an advancement, you know, on the offense when used with other believers. You know, that's the same way for the breastplate. He was talking about how the breastplate only covers the front of your chest, covering your heart, but it doesn't cover the back. So that's why you need to have brothers that have your back. I thought that was kind of interesting.
So something I'd like to do, maybe to kind of close us off these last kind of 10 minutes here that we have, you know, what are some things that you see on a day-to-day basis that they maybe try to tempt you to turn away from God, or to and kind of to a certain degree lead you away from his house, as some might say? Like, what are some things that you see personally that might lead you away from his house, just on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what he says. Once you can call it out, that's when the change begins to happen. So once you can look at your life and feel not the condemnation, but the conviction to change. Once you can, you know, because the one thing is, the enemy, he's the king of the darkness. So if there's things that you don't want to bring to light, if there's things that you don't want, you know, to give to Christ, there's a lot of things I feel like we know that are wrong with us, but we don't want to work on it. You know, you can't fight the enemy in the dark. So when you, if you try to fight him in the dark, he's going to win every time. So bring it out. Bring out those nasty things that you know, that, you know, deep down inside of you, that you just got to get it out. Give it to him, you know. Bring it into the light. Give it to God. He'll take it away. And with that being said, that's like, just, and whether that be just the mental battles, I know that's the number one thing we deal with, is just day by day. I know being involved with a men's group, I see these men, what they go through on the daily basis, and I'm sure these are things that their family doesn't even know about. But by them bringing out and talking these things out with brothers, they're bringing it into the light. That's what's happening. And these things are being prayed on, and chains are being broken, you know. And if the Son sets you free, then you're set free. And there's, I think as humans, we kind of like to think about something longer than we like to think about, because when we give it to God, the Bible says that it's gone, you know. And once we can understand that concept, it makes life a whole lot easier, you know. It makes that breakup a whole lot easier. I was just explaining this to a friend. It's when you can understand what is from God and what is not from God, it just makes walking with him so much easier, because you immediately know, no matter how much you want it, if you know it's not from God, you know it's from the enemy, and the enemy only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I know that sounds very straightforward, but you know, the enemy's, we have a real enemy, and he's a being, and we need to be on guard, and you know, we need to be protected, and we know that we have the greatest protector, and the battle's won. So we fight from that victory, and we proclaim his name.
I mean, that's good. So I like that, the fact that you continue to say that we need to fall back on him, and to sharpen our sword, and to wear the armor, and to be with our brothers in this. And that isn't just every Sunday when you go to church. That isn't just, you know, this is throughout your whole life. This is day to day. I know for me personally, I struggle with anger issues a lot. Just, I can be set off sometimes like a hair trigger, and it's falling back on God to realize I don't need to be so angry and forthwith on some things. And there's times I've blown up at my parents, at my brothers, friends of mine, over super minuscule things that, had I thought it through, or had I you know, had a better relationship with God, that maybe I would have slowed myself down a little bit and thought, why am I getting so mad about this? Why am I having these, you know, angry thoughts? What can God do to change me and to maybe help me word things better, to calm myself down and to give myself a calmer demeanor? And luckily, if I've been able to, through God, change some of those things and calm myself down as life has gone on, but I still struggle with it. Even on my way over here today, I had left straight after work, and anybody that knows the Jacksonville area, it just gets super crazy, super busy right after 5 o'clock, and I have people cutting me off and, you know, just doing, you know, dumb things on the road as people do, and my road rage instantly flares up and makes me want to do something stupid. And then I realize, I'm like, why am I getting mad? I'm like, these people aren't hurting me. They're just doing things that irritate me. But why do they irritate me? No reason at the end of the day. And God would tell me to, well, slow down. Why would you hurt yourself? Because hurting yourself doesn't just hurt you. It hurts people around you. And you may end up causing an accident. And God forbid, maybe I'd gone, you know, my rage had gone out of control and I had, you know, hit somebody or you know, even run somebody over or killed somebody, and now their family has gone without. So it's trusting in God to be able to slow yourself down and to give you more time to think.
That makes me think about my pastor. He says the important reason to be in the Word is, as Christians, we should be using the Word as a mirror. The overflow of our heart speaks our mouth. So I know I get angry very easily when I'm at working. I'm a window tinter, so it's a very meticulous job. So, I mean, it can be one small thing, and I'm like, whole mood is ruined. And I'm like, man, this is so small. Why am I so worried about this? But I think by being in the Word, we can dive in, and it helps look at ourselves, and it makes us look at ourselves and say, okay, what do I need to fix? What do I need to do to be able to get closer to Him, to be able to experience, you know, the fruit that He has to offer? But not only as what it can do for ourselves, but what it can do for others, you know, to be the witness of what His love has done in our life, to be seen by others. I feel like ultimately that's what we're called to be, is witnesses. And that's why I think it's so powerful that me and Him have come together. And this is something that's truly been heavy on our hearts, because he paid our debts, and that's something we're very grateful for. And when Jesus, you know, he was reclining with the sinners, there was a lady under the table anointing His feet, and He saw the faith of this woman, and one of the men said to Him, if only you knew, Jesus, what she had done. And this is when Jesus gave him the parable. He said, if there's two people that have debts, and one of them is 50 denarii and then one of them is 500 denarii, and both debts are paid off, who would be more grateful? So I just feel in my heart that Jesus paid my debt that I could have never repaid. And I am in forever debt to Him. And that's why I would love to give Him the glory. And that your debts are also being offered to be paid as well. And I think when we can understand that, it'll bring a little bit of joy in our lives. And I think joy just makes things a little bit easier, you know. And when you're just overfilled with joy and it starts speaking out of your mouth, I think it's a beautiful thing. And it starts running out of our eyes, and you can see the passion, you know. And I think that's what's driving this whole podcast, really, is, you know, Philip's a very passionate guy. He's an accountant, and this guy texts me almost every day. Just, you know, he was super excited to get this podcast going, and as well as I've just been kind of diving in this week, and we've kind of, this episode's kind of been all over the place. We've kind of had a lot to talk about, but we've been praying about this for a long time, and we're super blessed to be able to get behind these microphones and share this message with you. And we really pray that, you know, this message would go into the hearts of many of you guys, and that you would hear the knock of Jesus, and that you would just let Him in. He wants to take you into the kingdom. just ask to be humbled, and we commend our spirits into the Father's hands.
I mean, and to kind of close it off, you're talking about joy and how it overflows out of you. The most wonderful thing I love to do is to be in line, and I'm kind of awkward to a certain degree. I will make things awkward, and I love awkward moments. I've literally been in the line at Subway, and I've turned around to the person behind me. I'm like, "How are you doing? How are you doing today? Are you doing good?" And they're like, you know, they're kind of a little shocked, but every now and then, I'll get the response of like, "I'm doing good. How are you?" And my first response is, "I'm doing great because God has blessed me today."
Amen.
And it's truly glorious, and God's love. It truly, I try to radiate God's love, and
yeah,
I don't always do that. I'm not always the most positive person, but I try to live my best through Him and understand that this podcast isn't meant to target anybody. This podcast is truly meant to educate and to tell you and to bring you to God, because God loves you. He truly does. So we thank every one of you that have come out to join us. I know Nick had a lot to speak on today on this episode, and as he said, we've kind of been all over the place. We had a little bit of a jumble to go through, but we appreciate every single one of you that have stuck it out this far. And I understand that we hope to continue to bring you great messages going forward, and to hopefully grow our family here on the internet. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. And until next episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous, God bless.